Today, we are starting a new series based on Psalm 23. So hopefully, I hope you enjoy this. That's a famous chapter in the Bible. Even people who aren't believers in Jesus have heard of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, right? I shall not want, or I have all that I need. So that's what we're going to be going over for the next 6 weeks. There are six verses in this psalm. We're going to be doing 1 through 5. One of them we're going to split up because it's a larger verse. And then it's possible I might sneak the sixth verse into our Advent series. We'll see how that plays out. But that's what we're going to be going over for the next 6 weeks. We'll take a break for the chili cook-off because we'll talk about creation care and stuff. And then we'll have some chili. And, I'm just going to tell you, if you want some of the hottest chili in town, I will be providing that. Laverne, I'm providing it. So there's a lot of fierce competition on that day. You don't want to miss that day. So, but listen, also, just so you know, I teach out of the New Living Translation. So some of these verses in this psalm might seem a little bit different than what you're used to. I study out of the New King James, but I've really been liking the New Living because I think it just kind of breaks down some of those bigger words that you're like, what does that mean? You know, and it's just a little bit easier to read, and I find it a little bit easier to teach out of. So, but this psalm is the perfect picture of the goodness of God. See, King David wrote this psalm. Now, King David, he grew up as a shepherd boy. So the analogies in this psalm made a lot of sense to him. But he was also a musician. He was a poet. He wrote a lot of the psalms. He was also a warrior. He was a king of Israel. He fought a lot of battles for God to drive out the pagan nations in the land of Israel. But he was also considered as a man after God's own heart. King David was far from perfect. When you read about him, you're like, how could he be a man after God's own heart? He really did some messed up things. Well, the reason being is because he understood the presence of God. He understood the importance of staying close to God. See, as we'll find out a little bit later on today, is staying close to God is the most important thing in our lives as followers of Jesus. That's what keeps us grounded. That's what keeps us forgiven. That's what keeps us from all that other stuff that we carry and we put on our own shoulders. If we think about it, we give it to Him. So King David was a man after God's own heart, and this psalm is a very good description of who God is to us. And also, this psalm is a really good psalm for us to have kind of in our arsenal of passages. It's a good psalm to use for our daily prayer and even like personal meditation time. You can just read on this psalm, read this psalm or memorize it and just kind of focus on it. Because this is a psalm too that can breathe life into our spirits. It can bring life in a dark situation if we're going through a rough patch in our life. And then also it can be used for encouragement on a day-to-day basis in our lives. If this is something that you have memorized, this is something that you can use on a daily basis to get you through each day. So let's get right into it. Psalm 23, verse 1 is what we're looking at today. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. That's the New Living Translation. God is all that I need. That's the subtitle to this particular sermon. See, God is everything that we need when we put our trust in Him. See, everything on this earth that mankind, that we often put our trust in, can be gone in a matter of seconds. Our life, our family, our job, our finances, our wealth, our achievements, our reputation. Things that we put our trust in that don't have as much solid footing as we think they do can be gone in an instant. The one thing that can never be taken away from us is our relationship with Jesus. Now, we in our lifetime may often stray from him, and we think, well, God has left me, but he hasn't. See, oftentimes, this is us, this is Jesus. We may go through life like this, and we come right back. He's always waiting for us to come back. That's we're given free will, so we can make that choice. God never leaves our side. He's constantly trying to get our attention. So that's the one thing in life that we have that will always be a constant, is Jesus's love for us. It never fades. As a matter of fact, it probably gets stronger as time goes on. He will never leave our side. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. Now, King David wrote this, right, this psalm. And since he grew up as a shepherd boy, it only makes sense that he would maybe write a psalm or a poem or, you know, something about his relationship with God and how God is with us. Now, I'm not too sure if you know this or not. Those of you that grew up on sheep farms will agree with me that sheep are not the smartest animal out there. They're just not. It's a fact. They wander off. They leave the pack. They often get lost. They fall off cliffs. They have a lot of natural predators because they can't defend themselves very well. They can't fight back very well. They can't run very fast. They're an easy target for their predators, for prey. They're easy prey. Sheep need a defender to look out for them. Sheep need somebody to take care of them. And guess what? People are a lot like sheep. I don't know why God picks sheep to relate people to, but in the Bible, that's what he does. He probably knows better, and if I look back on my life, I'm like, yep, it's a good correlation. But see, sheep need someone to look after them. If not, their lifespan is not going to be very long, and it probably isn't going to end well. See, because here's what the shepherd does. The shepherd, you might want to write this down because I'm going to say this a few times today. The shepherd feeds, he leads, and he meets the needs of the sheep. That's what the shepherd does. He feeds, leads, and meets the needs of the sheep. The shepherd serves the sheep in order for them to survive. That's the greatest thing about Jesus. He is the King of all kings. There is nothing or nobody above him, but yet he serves us. See, King David recognized that God is our shepherd, that he will feed us. And that doesn't mean that he's going to make me a sandwich, but it means that he will feed my spiritual being. He will feed me mentally. He will give me the physical strength to get through each day. He feeds me. He leads me through life. If I follow him, if I follow his voice, if I do what his word says, if I'm tuned into what he's talking to me about, I will follow his lead, and then he will meet my needs on a daily basis. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 tells us that God will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. One of the things that we learned in the last series was that Jesus has an unlimited supply of resources for us. This is what I would call glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. There is nothing that we need that God cannot supply. Nothing. And what's even better, get this. What's even better is that God's goodness is not based on our goodness. He is good to us because of what Jesus did on the cross. We don't have to be good in order for God to bless us. Did you know that? We don't have to be good. We can have a rotten week, a rotten day. We can make a lot of mistakes. We can do what I call like a personal mess up or sin or something that nobody knows about. We could lash out at somebody at work. We could make a big mistake and blow up in front of somebody or whatever. And God might say, they have had such a bad week. You know what? We're not going to worry about the consequences today. I'm just going to bless them. I want them to know that things are going to be okay. Because remember, another thing we went through last series is that God just wants to love us. Now, we never want to take that for granted. And generally, there will be consequences to our actions. But sometimes God says, I just want to bless him. That's why sometimes when you see like the person who you think is like the most righteous person of all, they know all the Bible verses, they know everything, and they need a healing, and it never comes, and then a person who's never stepped a foot into a church comes in and they get a healing. What is that all about? That is God's goodness. We don't know, and I've learned to just not question it, roll with it. Just roll with it, because the more you learn to roll with it, the more you begin to see God in your own life. God wants us to be happy. He wants us to be blessed. He wants us to allow him to take care of us. And one of the biggest things that get in the way of this is worry. Worry gets in the way of the blessings that God has for us. We're going to look at a verse in Philippians real quick in chapter 4, and then we're going to jump in to Matthew chapter 6 and spend most of the day there, or just the morning. You guys didn't know, we're going to be here for a while. All right, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, don't worry about anything. Has anybody ever told you that? And you're like, yeah, really? Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. See, Thomas was onto something there. You thank him. Every night I thank God for what I have. I thank him for what he's done in my life. Even if my needs weren't met that day because I didn't think they were met, I still thank him. A thankful attitude keeps you from focusing on the bad things in life. But don't worry. Pray. Tell God what you need. See, worry distracts us from living our best life. It distracts us from hearing God's voice and seeing where he's at around us. Pray about everything and tell him what you need. And be honest about it. And then thank him for the things he's done in your life. See, oftentimes when we see pray about everything, I don't know about you, but I used to get this picture of just going in a room behind closed doors and getting on my knees and speaking in the King James and just praying to God. But how many of us have the opportunity to pray like that in life? We're busy, we don't have time, we're usually worrying and stressed out. My prayer life is generally, as I'm going through the day, I speak to God. I invite him into things that I'm doing. I ask him to come into me in this meeting. I ask him to come to the grocery store with me. And I look and I listen to see where he's at around me. See our prayer. And there are times for that, you know, to get down, get on your knees and just buckle down in prayer. There are definitely times for that. But if you invite God in, invite Jesus in on a regular basis and just have a conversation with him, even if you're so stressed out, you need someone to vent to. He's your guy. Because he's big enough. Think about all the people you know in your life that don't like anything about Jesus or the Bible and the things that they say about Jesus. And you're like, ooh, I would never say that. Jesus is a big boy. He can handle some venting. He can handle some frustration. He can handle everything that is upsetting us. Because I believe the more honest we are with him, the better the response we'll get from him. I really do. You can't hide your feelings from him. He already knows how you feel. So be honest with him. And I believe you will start hearing from him a little bit more. See, if his word tells me to pray about it and to tell him everything that I need, then that's what I'm going to do. Because that's what the Word says. Then I'm going to expect a response. I mean, it would be silly for me to pray to God about my needs and tell Him what I need and tell Him how I feel about this and how upsetting it is to me and then go on with my life saying, well, He's too busy to respond to me. He is not. But if you're not looking, if you're not listening, if you're not expecting a response, then you're not going to get one. Because it's probably going to go right past you. Because you're not looking, you're not listening. The response can come in a variety of ways. Remember, it's His glorious riches. It's His unlimited resources that He uses to help us out in life. He may bring somebody in your life, and they don't even have to be a believer, and they might have the answer to your issue. You might be sitting at an intersection and see, you know, a bird fly by and then have a thought about how that bird's flying. And if you think about it, you're like, wait a minute. That's the answer that I need. See, God will speak to in our circumstances. He'll speak within our surroundings. He'll speak to us with our conversations with others. And sometimes what we think is just a crazy thought is Him speaking to us. I've learned to never negate the thoughts that I think are from God. Because you know what? Even if they aren't, I give Him the glory for it. They have to be from Him. I believe that my Creator wants me to have the best life. And so if I'm talking to Him about something and I have this thought that helps that issue, why wouldn't it be God? Because half the time, if I'm being honest, I'm not that smart to come up with that answer. Really, because my Creator wants me to have the best. And then, here's the other thing too. When it comes to God's Word, the way I read it, the way I interpret it, is that I literally see Jesus doing the things that I read about. Sometimes I put myself in the story as a bystander or whatever. It helps the Bible come to life for me, and it helps me to see and just kind of wonder if that's how Jesus operates. I never make the assumption that that is how He operates, but I wonder, is that what He was doing right there? Is that how that went down? And it brings it to life. And you know what? He'll speak to me in those wonderings because I'm picturing it happening, and it just brings His Word and Him a little bit more to life with me. Does that make sense? And since I'm going to be focused on Psalm 23 for the next several weeks, guess what is going to be in my daily prayers and meditations? Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I have everything that I need. And as each week goes by, each verse is going to be a part of my weekly meditations and prayer life. Because I'm going to picture Jesus as the shepherd feeding me and leading me and meeting all my needs. And if I'm being honest, it's going to be a part of who I am probably from here on out. I will have moments with Jesus that I will remember for the rest of my life because He will speak to me. There will be epiphanies and there will be revelation to His Word. And I'll remember that because you know what? Our spirits, we are a living spiritual being. And if our Creator is speaking to that, He is speaking to you so that He can help you in the moment and so that will come to life in the future. And so you may help somebody else in your life the same way that He helped you. See, Jesus knew that as human beings, worry was going to be a big factor in our lives. Because in Matthew chapter 6, He addressed it. And that's what we're gonna land on for most of the day. So Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 starts out with this. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? He's talking about your everyday worries, all the little things that you worry about. Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for their heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to Him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at all the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow or the compost pile, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? See, worry causes us to lose sight of reason. We lose sight of reason when we worry about the issues of the day, all the little things, all the, like, am I going to have enough gas to put in my car? Am I going to have enough food to go out to lunch with everybody today? Am I prepared enough for this meeting? Those are all the little things that cause us to worry, and sometimes, if we're being honest with ourselves, it causes us to lose reason. We lose sight of reason when we worry about all of these things. Worrying also causes irrational thinking. I know I'm speaking to somebody here today. Look at the birds outside. Have you ever seen a bird worry? Have you ever seen a bird on your windowsill or in a tree look like he was frantically worried? No. And Jesus said, you are far more valuable than the birds. But God still, with his unlimited resources, takes care of the birds. They've got food enough to eat. They've got nests and places to sleep at nighttime. They've got everything that they need. Birds don't pray to God when they're having a bad day. They can't. But yet here they are, going through life with all their needs met. We are the only creation that God created to have a relationship with him. Look at the flowers and nature. You ever seen a flower worry? They're beautiful, right? Some people love fall. I'm not a fall guy. The flowers go away. Everything drops. The leaves fall. The trees are bare. Your pumpkin spice, it's not my thing. Unless it's Laverne's pumpkin rolls. Now, those are good. But I'm not a fall guy. You know what? I like spring. Spring breeze life. The flowers come out. The trees are budding. That's just my jam, okay? You guys can have the pumpkin spice and the hay rides and all that stuff all you want. But if the flowers that are here today and gone tomorrow are as beautiful as they are, God put all of the thought that he put in with all the different flowers and everything like that so that we can have something beautiful to look at. He's saying, look at how God takes care of that. If he's going to take care of nature and creation like that, how much more will he take care of you, who he created to have a relationship with? And I've often asked a question. I have yet to find a person who has worried themselves into a solution. How many times have you worried yourself right into a solution? It doesn't really happen. See, and I believe that Jesus is trying to say what I believe. That's what I believe he's trying to say. Like, you can't worry yourself into a solution. How many of you have added a single moment to your life by worrying? Some versions say an inch to your height. How successful has worrying been for you? See, none of that works because worry clouds our faith in Jesus. That's why he ended that with saying, why do you have so little faith? You're so focused on this issue that you're worried about, you're not even talking to God about it. You're losing faith in what God can do for you because you've made this worry so big that you can't seem to get over the hurdle. Proverbs chapter 12 says, worry weighs a person down. How about that? There is absolutely no freedom in worrying. Worry, it causes us to lose sleep, right? It might even bring health problems. It causes unneeded stress, anxiety, maybe even depression. It weighs a person down. So let's continue to read what Jesus says in verse 31. So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. The best way to combat worry is to seek God. Focus on him. Pray to him. Tell him what you need. Jesus says, the people who don't believe in my Father in heaven, worry dominates their thoughts. What he's saying is they don't have a creator in their life because they haven't invited him in. They don't believe in him, so they worry about everything. At least as a believer in Jesus, there's a glimmer of hope. And remember, God's goodness isn't based on our goodness, so maybe he might just throw us a little something in the midst of our worry. See, the more we focus on the kingdom of God and do our best in life, everything will be added that we need. God will supply all of our needs because he is our shepherd who feeds, leads, and meets our needs. He is more than enough. Worry doesn't change anything. It's a waste of energy. It's unreasonable. It's unnatural. It's unhelpful. I say it's unnatural because you don't see birds worrying, you don't see flowers worrying, you only see people worrying. It weighs us down mentally, yet we all worry about something at some point in time in our life. So how do we trust God to meet our needs instead of worrying about them? This is the kind of stuff that always seems a lot easier to tell somebody, because worry is controlling. And the person giving the advice to the person that's worrying is often not in that position of worry. So it's easier for them to say, this is what you need to do. See, we were designed to trust, not worry. Trust in God and his word. And I'm going to veer off my notes for a minute here, because I really felt like the Lord wanted me to address something here. Number one, it's a trust issue. Our faith in God is trust. Everybody's heard the story of Adam and Eve and the apple, you know, which was a fruit. God said, you can have everything in here to eat, everything. I just don't want you to eat the fruit off of that tree. Well, the serpent came and tempted Eve, and as the devil always does, he got her to question God's word. When you start questioning God's word, you start rationalizing your way of living, and you start going down a path that you might not be going down because you start rationalizing things and making it, you know, this should be okay. It was all about trust. God wanted to build their trust. It's just like when you tell a child, don't run out into the street. The child isn't going to understand what the consequences of that could be, and the child is too small for you to tell them exactly what could happen. They just need to trust the parent that they can't run out into the street. And so that's what that was all about. Now, I had a person that I respect a few weeks ago give me this word for the church. And I felt like as I was working on my notes late last night that this is the time to address that. You see, worry, our finances, and how much we have is often the cause of worry. Am I wrong? Married couples, young married couples, finances is stressful. whether we have enough, can be stressful. Did you know? So I'm going to talk about tithing for a second here. Tithing is when we give 10% to God. Okay? I'm not saying this because the church needs your money. This church is 40, going on 44 years old. God will take care of this church. He has in the past. He will in the future. But here's the thing. In Malachi chapter 3, it's the last book in the Old Testament. It's right before Matthew. If you want to get into it, go to Matthew and then flip a few pages earlier, go to chapter 3. And God says, does a person steal from God? He says, if you are not tithing, you are stealing from God. Did you know that? That's what it says. Tithing is 10% that we give to God. Everything that we have as believers in Jesus, everything that I have, our family has, comes from God. I've made it up in my mind. I don't care how terrible our service is in a restaurant, I am tipping well. You know why? Because I want that person to be blessed. It's not my money. I don't walk out of there with my chest puffed out going, I can't wait till they get that tip. No, I say, God, this is your money. I want you to bless them. I want them to be blessed. Oftentimes we use gift cards and we don't buy alcohol, so our bill is not as large as most. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to make up for that because they may be thinking, well, they're going to leave a smaller tip. I want them to be blessed. And you know what? If it's bad service, it might not be their fault. They might be having a bad day, and maybe that will help them. But see, if you're stressed out right now about finances, I believe that God wanted to address you right now in the area of tithing. Because 100% of the times somebody comes to me and says, will you pray for me for my finances? I ask them, are they tithing? They say no. I say, ask them 2 months later, how you doing with that? They say, oh my goodness, I've been tithing and things are better. It's a biblical principle. It's a biblical principle. And here's my thing. We used to do a 90-day challenge for tithing. And at the end of 90 days, if you did not see God move in your life financially, we would give you your money back. Yeah. Now, I'm not throwing that out today. But here's what I am saying. This is my challenge for you, all right? We're midway through October. Give it 90 days. That will end your year and bring you into the new year. And I believe with all my heart, you will see a difference in your finances and the stress that you have will be lifted. Because when God says, does a man steal from God? He says, you're not tithing. And then he says, if you tithe, you will have so much blessings. He's talking about barns. He says your barn houses will overflow with blessing. You will be blessed if you start tithing. It's a principle of God's. So if worry and stress, if finances are a big part of your worry and stress and you don't tithe, I want to encourage you. And listen, you know what? If this is your home church, if this is where you're fed spiritually, this is where you should tithe. If you're visiting, but you go to another church and you're like, oh, I don't tithe, start tithing to that church. Start feeding into that church. Because here's the deal. Everything we have is from God. He's asking for 10% back. It's a trust issue. It's trust. That's what it's all about. 10%. God can do more with your 10% than you can with your 90. So I just want to encourage you in that. And if you want to talk to me more about it, I love talking about this stuff because Kim and I have stories for days on where we've seen God move. We have never been in want. Every time a big something comes by, it's like, how are we going to do this? I don't know, but here it is. I usually end up giving a little bit more just because that's how God works. So, all right, back to the notes. Here we go. If finances are a source of your stress and you don't tithe, I want to encourage you to do that. So, all right, where was I? Okay, so we want to focus on verses 33 and 34 in this chapter right here. These are two life verses for me. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Sometimes I think we read that live righteously and we're like, well, that is like way above what I could ever do. You know what? Just do your best. Do your best according to God's word. That's what he's saying. And don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble, today has enough trouble in itself. See, if you focus on these two verses every day, and every day, here's the deal. If you focus on these two verses, and every day before you put your feet on the ground, before you get out of bed, talk to Jesus. Sorry, Jesus, we started this series. I'm struggling here. Your word says that you are my shepherd, and you will give me everything I need. I have all that I need. Then Jesus, as I go through today, will you feed me? Will you lead me, and will you supply me with all of my needs? Will you meet my needs today? Will you help me do my best? Will you forgive me of my wrongdoings as I place my trust in you? I'm serious. If you want to make this your prayer, I'll give you these notes. See, and even say this, yesterday already happened. What you can change from yesterday, change. If you need to go to somebody and apologize, if you need to ask forgiveness, if you got to get on your knees and say, God, I'm so sorry, I slipped, I fell into that addiction, I did whatever. Do what you can to change it, and then move on. It's it. It's behind you. We have to learn to put yesterday behind us. What we can't change, we let go, and we give it to Jesus. Tomorrow hasn't happened yet, so focus on today. See, when we worry about tomorrow, we miss out on the blessings for today. We miss out on today's blessings because we're so worried about something that hasn't happened yet. God doesn't give you the power to get through tomorrow today. He gives you the power to get through today, today. That's it. When tomorrow gets here, guess what? God will supply all your needs when it gets here. Focus on today. Because maybe God wants to give you something today that's going to help you tomorrow. But if you're so focused on tomorrow, you're going to miss out on what he has for today. Maybe there's a blessing that he has for you that you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And he's like, I want to set you up to succeed tomorrow. If you're looking, and if you're listening, and if you're focusing on where God's at in your life. And then when tomorrow gets here, you're going to be like, oh my goodness, I can't believe I caught it. Instead of, how did I ever miss it? Because usually we're over here. How did I miss that? I had that fleeting thought, and now I know what it was about. It wasn't a fleeting thought. It's the Holy Spirit setting you up to succeed for tomorrow. But when we're so worried, our minds are racing, we're thinking irrational, we're not reasoning, just things are spiraling out of control up here, and we're missing out on what God has for us. And listen, I know that life can get overwhelming. Life can. And that's why the best thing to do is to press into the goodness of God and seek him at all times. He will get you through every issue that you face. So I'll bring it home with this. John chapter 10, the Gospel of John says this in verse 14. This is Jesus speaking. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and they know me. Come on. I know my own sheep and they know me. Jesus already knows what we need before we ask it. But we must seek his presence. We can't say, Jesus, how could you let this happen? You knew this was going to happen to me. And he's going to say, you didn't talk to me about it. We both knew it was going to happen. You knew it was going to happen too. You just need somebody to blame. Trust in him. And when we don't see the answer we're looking for, we need to rest in Him and know that He has everything under control. When I use the phrase rest in Him or wait on the Lord, I don't mean just sit there and do nothing. I mean go through life knowing, resting, waiting for Him to move, looking for Him, listening for Him. And here's something else. Maybe it would help. I hope this speaks to somebody. Maybe it would help if you made a list of the things you're worried about and you literally lifted them up to Jesus. Here's my list of worries, Jesus. You say you're going to meet my needs. I need you to meet them. And I suspect, too, that as you're writing that list down, you're going to start seeing how irrational some of those things are. And you're going to be like, oh my goodness, you're going to cross things off. Like, boy, is that silly. And that will be the Holy Spirit saying, you know what, just let's put that one aside for right now. And I know that some are legitimate. We have legitimate needs and worries in life. But the more we worry, the more we add to that list. And I believe when we write things down also, it gives it a name. And it makes it official, and it helps us prioritize and rationalize the things that are overtaking us. In 1 Peter chapter 5, it says, give all your worries and cares to God, for He cares about you. He cares about you. Give them to Him. Literally, give your worries to God. Tell Him how you feel and why you think they're weighing you down. And He will begin speaking to you. And then rest in Him. Let Him do what He does best. Let Him be your shepherd who feeds and leads and meets your needs. Let Him be, Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. Amen? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I just thank You, God. I thank You how you speak to us in all different ways, through Your word, at church this morning, through our interactions with people, all the things that we do, God. I thank You for that. Your unlimited resources, Your glorious riches that we as believers of Yours have access to. Sometimes we need to search You out and draw near to You, and sometimes You just say, I don't even want you to worry about it today. I got you. So I just pray that as we head into a time of worship, I want to encourage you to talk to God about your needs and your worries. If you're someone who this message really, really spoke to, I want to ask you to encourage you to have a personal moment with Jesus during worship. And my prayer is going to be that those worries are lifted and the needs are met. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.